One of the central personalities, one of the major personalities that's discussed in this week's parsha is the man, is the man of many contradictions, Esav, who presents one of the very difficult personalities that appear in the Torah. Vayehav Yitzchok es Esav, and Yitzchok loved Esav, ki tzayid bepiv. Verifka I heves es Yaakov. Two children, set of parents, father and a mother. The father has a preference for one child, Esav, and the mother has a preference for the other child, Yaakov. And the Gemara and the Pasuk says that the reason why Yitzchok loved Esav is kitzayid bepiv. And Rashi brings two interpretations of what tzayid bepiv means. Chazal, in the Medrash on this pasuk, say that Yitzchok loved Esav bischus ma'asov hatoivim, because of the ma'asim toivim that Esav did. The devotion that he had, the total commitment that he had to being meshamish and to being mechabed his father. Yitzchok loved Esav because Esav was outstanding in the mitzvah of kibudav. The Medrash brings that Reb Shimon ben Gamliel was the ultimate example in the history of Am Yisrael of somebody who was mekayem the mitzvah of kibud av. The way in which Reb Shimon was mechabed his father Gamliel, Rabbi Gamliel, was the ultimate in the way in which a person can be mekayem the mitzvah of kibud av. Yet, Omer Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel himself said, Kol yomai hayisi mishamesh es abo. My entire life I devoted to the mitzvah of kibud av, and I was mishamesh my father, I served my father. V'lo shimashti oisai echod mimeo. But I never reached 1% of the kiyum din of kibud av, sheshimesh esov es oviv. I never reached 1% of the degree to which Esav was mechabed Yaakov. I, says Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, b'shor shayisi mishamesh es abo, when I used to be mechabed my father, when I used to give my father to eat, and when I used to give my father to drink, and when I used to serve him, And when I used to do things for him, says Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, Ha'isi mishamshoy, I used to do it bivgodim meluchlochin, in my working clothes. U'bishosho yitzi yitzi l'derech, but when I had to go somewhere, when I had an important business meeting, when I had an important function to attend, then ha'isi yitzi bivgodim nekiyim, then I would put on fresh clothing. Avol Esav, but Esav, b'shor shehoyu mishamish es oviv, when he was being mishamish Yankov Yitzchok, lo hayu mishamshoy elo bebigdei malchus, he used to put on royal clothing. Omar, and he used to say, ein kvoide shel abo, it's not covered for my father. Liyos mishamshay, to be mishamishim, elo bebigdei malchus, has to be done bebigdei malchus. When Esav was doing something for his father, he wasn't mishamishim with begodim pshutim, but with bigdei malchus, which were choshev, with bigdei malchus, which were expensive. And even though there was the possibility and the probability that the clothing, because he was using the b'shas maisa when he was doing things for his father, there was the possibility and the probability that the clothing would become spoilt, that the clothing would become dirty, that didn't prevent him from being mishamish his father with the best clothing that he had. And if we want to get an idea of how choshev this clothing was to Esav, we see it from the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Vatikach Rivka es bigdei Esav b'no agodla chamudais ashe ito babayis." That when Rivka is dressing up Yaakov, that he should appear like Esav, she takes the begodim of Esav from where? Ashe ito babayis, which are by her in the house. Says Rashi, what were these begodim chamudais? What were they? What were they? Says Rashi, they belonged to Nimrod. And Esav killed Nimrod in order to put his hands on these begodim. And these begodim actually originated from Adam Arishon. It was the Ksenes Oya which Adam Arishon had. And Esav didn't trust his wives to look after these begodim properly, because they didn't understand, they were Eved Aved Azorah, they didn't understand the chashivas, they didn't understand the importance and the significance of these begodim which belonged to Adam Arishon, and therefore he deposited them by his mother, because his mother, well, he knew was a tzadikus, and he knew that his mother would appreciate them and would look after them. And these begodim, which he was scared to leave by his wives, because they were so important to him, and they were so choshev to him, and they were objectively so choshev, these were the begodim that he used to do the most menial tasks on behalf of his father. When Yosef is told by Yaakov that he should go and find out how his brothers are doing, and Yosef knows that it's pikuach nefesh, it's a sakona to go and meet his brothers, because he knows that his brothers hate him, and he knows that who knows what they have up their sleeves and what they're going to do to him. His response to Yaakov, when Yaakov says, go out and see how your brothers are doing, his response is, hineini. And Chazal say, Yodea hoyo, Yosef knew, She'echov soinim oitzoi, that his brothers hate him. Yet he said, right, you tell me to go, I'm going. Say Chazal, why did he do that? Why did he respond like that? Loi rotzo lavoir al divrei oviv. Because he didn't want to go against his father. There's a mitzvah of kibud avim. Your father sends you to do something, go do it. Says the Sefer Achsidim. And where did he know this from? Where did he know that you have to be Mekayim, the mitzvah of Kibbud Av, Ad Kedei Kach, that even if it's Pikuach Nefesh and it's Takonos Nefoshes, you still have to do it? Say Chazal, says the Sefer Achsidim, and it's obviously based on a Chazal, even though we don't know what the Makar of the Chazal is, but the Sefer Achsidim says it. Where did he know this from? Says the Sefer Achsidim, Lomad Yosef, Kishaom ala Yaakov, Lecho v'eshtachem aleim, and he was Yedeya Sheyusayinim Eisei, he knew that they hated him, and he knew it was Pikach Nefesh. He did it. Where did you know this from? Says the Sefer Achsidim, Oma, he said to himself, Esav was continuously going to Mekoimus of Sakona, to dangerous places. Why? Lost Sud Sayot, to hunt animals, Lahavi Lahaviv. And he knew, even though it was Pikuach Nefesh, he did it. Why? Because of Kiyum Mitzvahs Kibud Av. V'Avi. And Yosef says, and my father, Shalchani Lira, he says, Shloim Ochi is sending me to see how my brothers are doing. And how his possessions, the Tzayin, is doing. And I shouldn't do it. And that, Fida Sefer Chassidim, comes out that that's the pshat in the pasuk. That Yitzchok was Oyev Yaakov, why? Kitzaydo, Kitzayed Bepiv? Because of the daraga of Esav and Kibud Av, that he was willing to go to Sakona to be Tzayed Bepiv, to bring Tzayed, to bring food to Yaakov Avinu, to Yitzchok Avinu. In other words, according to Chazal, and this is the way the Chazal are up teaching the Psukim, this is the way the Chazal are explaining the Psukim, this is the way the Chazal see the Pashtus Advarim, this is Pshutei Shel Mikra according to the Chazal, this is a simple understanding of the Torah, no two ways about it. Esav reached a daraga in Kibud Av Va'Eim that was never reached in the history of mankind. And was willing to be Mesa Nefesh for the mitzvah of Kibud Av to the degree that nobody was ever willing to do in the history of mankind. Ad Kedei Kach, the G'dayle Olam, Shiftei Ko, Yosef sees Esav as his Rebbe in Kibud Av. And the Gemara says in Bav Metzia, we're learning Bav Metzia, so Gemara in Bav Metzia, Lamed Gimel. Lamed Gimel, Lamed Aleph. What does the Gemara say in Bav Metzia, Lamed Gimel, Lamed Aleph? That the mitzvah of Kibud Av is huksha, is mukish to what? To the mitzvah of Kvod HaMakom. It's equal. The mitzvah of Kibud Av equates the mitzvah of being Mechavad the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. And along come Chazal in the Yalkut on Mishlei, and what did Chazal say? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Madif. HaKadosh Baruch Hu prefers Kibud Av Yosef Mikvodei. Yes, Kibud Av is Hukshet Kvod Makom. But say Chazal in the Yalkut, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam himself says rather Kibud Av than Kvod Makom. And notwithstanding all this, and notwithstanding the Meshura de Kedarga of Esav in Kibud Av, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam turns round to Klal Yisrael and says to Klal Yisrael, it's a pasuk in Yeshayahu, and it's this week's Haftarah. What does the Rebbeinu Shel Olam say? V'oihaves Yaakov. I love Yaakov, says the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ve'es Esav Soneisi, says the Ribbono Shel Olam. But Esav I hate. Why does the Ribbono Shel Olam hate Esav? To be fashtus, to quote Rabbi Rublev, go and ask your kindergarten teacher. Why does Ribbono Shel Olam hate Esav? To be fashtus, what were you going to say? There's a Chazal, famous Chazal. Rashi brings the Chazal that on the day that Avraham Avinu died, which was the day of the Mechiras HaBchira, that Yaakov buys the Bechira from Esav. Omer Rabbi Yechanan said, Chomesh Averis Ovar Oisei Rosha Ba'Oisei Yain. That on that day Esav was over on five Averis. Baal Nara Amurosa. He was over on the Yisav Eishasish. Horages HaNefesh. He was over on the east of Ritzicha. Kofa b'tchias ha-meisim. He denied the fact that there's a concept bichlal of nitzchias, of eternity, of an neshama surviving after physical death. Mali abcheira. Hinei aneichi holich lomus. I'm going to die and it's all over when a person dies. Kofa b'ika. He was an atheist. Bizois HaBchira was Mavaza, the concept of Avedus Hashem of the Bechira. So if Pashas, you say that the reason why the Ribbono Shel Olam hates Esav is because who is Esav? What did Rublev call him? A criminal. Nah, he's not a criminal. He's more than a criminal. In court you throw the book at him. He's a rapist, he's a murderer, he's an apicurus, he's a... You name it! He's it! He's the epitome of a personality which is the ultimate in Toyeva and in Rishus. That's what you would say. And in fact, Chazal say, it's a Medrash Tanchuma in this week's Parsha, the pasuk in Mishlei which says that you can get an individual who is Seiva Tayeva is Beliboy, he's saturated with Tayeva internally. Say Chazal, let's talk about Esav. So Esav is the ultimate personality who's saturated with Tayeva. And yet, Chazal say, that's not the reason why the Ribbono Shel Olam hates Esav. On the rape and the murder and the apikorsus and the Tayeva and anything you want, the Ribbono Shel Olam meichel him. Nish gefarlich. We've seen it. It can change. Into tshuva. That's not the pits. That's not the worst. Chazal say in the Medrash on this week's Parsha that the reason why the Ribbono Shel Olam hates Esav is because of a pasuk in this week's Parsha. And what's the pasuk in this week's Parsha? Say Chazal, Vayozed Yaakov Nozid. Yaakov was cooking. I think the literal translation is simmering. He was cooking. What was he cooking? Nozid, a stew. He's cooking a stew. Vayovay Esav min ha-sode. Esav comes from the sode. V'hu ayef. And Esav is tired. Explains Rashi b'shem Chazal. The Esav came back from a very difficult war. He was out there killing, murdering, plundering, raping, doing who knows what. He was weak. He was tired. He was worn out. And he's starving hungry. And he turns around to Yaakov when he sees that Yaakov is cooking the stew. And he says, Vayomer Esav el Yaakov, Esav says to Yaakov, Haliteini no min ha'adoim ha'adoim hazeh. Pour into me, Haliteini do. No, Rashi explains, pour into me, feed me. Min ha'adoim ha'adoim hazeh. From some of that red stuff that you have there, that you're cooking there. Ki oyef onoichi. Because I'm tired and I'm worn out. Al kain, says the pasuk, therefore, from that point and onwards, till eternity, by everybody in the world, kora shemai edoim. His name became Edom. Say Chazal, the expression that Esav used, min ha'adoim ha'adoim hazeh, that's why the Ribbono Shel Olam hates him. He said three words. And the three words that he said, they are the reason why the Ribbono Shel Olam hates him for eternity. And if you want to understand why this individual, who was the ultimate in the history of mankind in the Kiyum Mitzvah of Kibud Av, is seen for eternity as the ultimate Rosha, it's not because he murdered, and it's not because he raped, and it's not because he was an Apikeres, and it's not because he was Mevazah Avedus Hashem. It's for one reason and one reason only. Because he said three words. Min ha'adoim ha'adoim hazeh. From that red stuff. In other words, everything that manifested itself in actions by Esav, that manifested itself in murder and in rape and in apikorsus and in tayevo, comes, stems, originates from one thing. Min ha'adoim ha'adoim hazeh. The entire personality, the entire negative personality of Esav, in the eyes of the Torah, expresses itself in these three words. Min ha'adoim ha'adoim hazeh. And what's so terrible about these three words? Min ha'adoim ha'adoim hazeh. Come to Leveria, listen to the language in the dining room when the meal comes out. A lot worse than min ha'adoim ha'adoim hazeh, believe me. What's so terrible about min ha'adoim ha'adoim hazeh? And Rashi brings on this pasuk b'shem Chazal, and it's a Medrash Rabba on the pasuk, Oysa hayoim meis Avrom, that was the day on which Avrom died. The whole story, as we said, took place on the day that Avram died. And Chazal say, what was Yaakov cooking in this stew? Say Chazal, he was cooking adoshim, lentils. And say Chazal, why was he cooking lentils? Because lentils are round. And they're doimos legalgal. and they represent a circle. And avelus, mourning over a dead person, is to knock into our minds, to bring us to the realization that there is a Galgal Achayza Ba'ilam. There's a cycle in the world. Man gets born, man lives, man dies, man has a function when he's alive. And if you didn't fulfill your function when you're alive, then you wasted that cycle. And from the expression that Esav uses, the Torah understands the following. When Esav walked into that room, and when Esav saw Yaakov cooking that stew, and when Esav saw in the stew the lentils, what should that have triggered by him? Says the Torah, that should have triggered by him lentils, circles, Galgal Achayza, the significance of life. Avraham Avinu is dead. What impact, what effect does it have on the world? Then Avraham Avinu dies. When the Chazon Ish was Nifta, the Briskerov said the world has changed. Because yesterday was a world with the Chazon Ish and today it's a world without the Chazon Ish. What does it mean that Avraham Avinu, the Av HaMoen Goyim, God's messenger to humanity, isn't here anymore? That's what Esav should have seen when he saw Yaakov Avinu cooking this stew. What does Esav see? Says the Pasuk, Halitaini no min ha'adoim ha'adoim hazeh. He sees the superficiality. He sees, it's red stuff. It's not lentils, it's not avelus, it's not Avraham Avinu, it's nothing. It's one thing and one thing only. I'm tired. I'm hungry. I need to eat. Pour into my mouth that red stuff. That's all that Esav sees. Therefore, Esav represents, says the Torah, the ultimate in egoism. The ultimate in me and nothing else besides me. That doesn't exist in the world in Avraham Avinu, and it doesn't exist in the world in Avelus, and it doesn't exist in the world the concept of Galgal Achayza. All that exists in the world is me. And I'm tired, I'm hungry, Halitaini no min ha'adoim ha'adoim hazeh. And if the focus of your life is yourself, if the focus of life is the egoistic urgings and feelings that a person has, then you can be the ultimate in kibud av. But your kibud av is also egoism. Because that's your world. You're in a world of egoism. And therefore everything else is meaningless. And I want to say something more. And it's a little bit of a difficult concept to understand. It's built on a Kabbalistic concept. We'll try and make it as simple as possible. Because I don't understand it myself more than on a simplistic level. The nature of a person is that he doesn't believe in things that he can't see. When a person sees something in front of his eyes, then he'll believe that it's there and he'll believe that it exists. But if it's something which is abstract, it's something which he can't see in front of him, it's something which is, it's not concrete by him, if he can't see it, he has difficulty in believing it. However, the fact that you can't see something, not from a religious perspective, forget about religion,
but from a scientific perspective. Even if you're a totally secular atheistic scientist, the fact that you can't see something doesn't prove anything at all. It took thousands of years for science to discover that there is a concept in the world of an atom. There is not a scientist in the world who maintains that atoms didn't exist until science found out a system of being able to see an atom. Nobody maintains that the atoms only appeared in the world once one was able to see them. No, every scientist will tell you the atoms were there the whole time. You were missing the vehicle to be able to see it. Today we have vehicles that we can identify atoms, we can see atoms in a very, very simple language. And if that's true in the physical world, then our achas kama v'kama in the spiritual world. Well, the time hasn't yet come that it's been given to us or revealed to us the vehicles that exist that we should be able to see the spiritual world that exists around us in the way that we see the vehicle world. And because we don't have that vehicle, therefore, it's very difficult for us to understand and to believe that besides the physical material world that we live in, we also live in a spiritual world. There is a spiritual world out there that we are living in because we don't see it. And because our eyes can't see it, so we don't accept it as being a metzius. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin says the following. This is not Kabbalah. This is not Chassidish HaMaisas. Right? This is a Gemara. This is Chazal. Chazal say the following. Rav said that if a person learns Torah Lishma, if a person learns Torah the way he should be learning Torah, Ke'ilu bono paltrin shel mailo v'shel mato. It's as if he's building a palace up there and down here. Say Chazal, how do we know this? It's a pasuk in Yeshayo. V'osim dvorai b'picho. I will put my words into your mouth. In other words, you will learn Torah. U'betzel yodai kisisicho. And I will protect you in the shadow of my hand. I will get my hand to cover you, to protect you. L'intoya shomayim b'lisoid oretz. When a person sits by a Gemara, says Rav, and he says, "Oh, Marabaya," what happens? Says Rav, this is a Gemara, this is not Kabbalah again. This is not Chassidish Pshetel. This is Chazal. When a person sits by a Gemara and he says, "Oh, Marova," what happens? He creates. He creates a poter in Shalmayla v'Shalmato. And he creates an umbrella of protection around the world. That's a metzius. Your dibur creates. Why does your dibur create? Because man was created by the Ribbono Shel Olam as a synthesis of two things. The material guf of the person and the neshama. And where did the neshama come from? Vayipach mi'apov. The Ribbono Shel Olam breathed into man. Uman de nofach midilei nofach, says the Zohar. And when a person breathes, so he's giving out something of his. So the Ribbono Shel Olam put into man a neshama. A nefesh elokis. And therefore, says David HaMelech, in Tehillim, do you know what the definition of human being is and the Jew is? Says David HaMelech. V'techasreyu ma'at me'elikim. It's a little bit less than the Ribbono Shel Olam. But every Jew has within him a shtik Ribbono Shel Olam. And in the same way as Ribbono Shel'Olam created the world, how did Ribbono Shel'Olam create? Bidvar Hashem Nasu Shamayim. Shamayim Nasu. The Ribbono Shel'Olam creates with Dibur. Man creates with Dibur. You speak, you create. Says Ramchal the following. Says Ramchal, when Ribbono Shel'Olam created the world, he created what in the Sifrei Kabbalah are called four Olamos. He created four worlds, as it were. And all these four worlds are interconnected. It's like a pipe with four compartments. The first world, the first olam that the Ribbono Shel'Olam created is the closest to the Ribbono Shel'Olam himself. It's next to God. Therefore it's called the world next to God. And the word for next to in Hebrew is Eitzel. Therefore it's called Olam HaAtzilus. And then underneath it, there's a world which, because it's a little bit further away from the source of spirituality, from the Ribbono Shel'Olam, it's a little less spiritual, a little more material. And then underneath that, there's another world, which again, because it's even further away from the Ribbono Shel'Olam, is a little less spiritual, a little more material. And then there's a fourth world underneath that, which is again, is further away even from the Ribbono Shel'Olam. So it's less spiritual and more material. And then there's the Olam HaGashmi that we live in, which is even less spiritual and even more material. But above the Olam HaGashmi Mamish that we live in is four Olamas. Atzilus, Bria, see it. I'm going to. Says Ramchal. You should know something, says Ramchal. Every single thing which exists in this world starts by the Ribbono Shel'Olam. Everything which exists in its originality is totally spiritual. And it descends the Olamos. And when it hits the first Olam, it becomes a little bit more material, and a little bit, yes, spiritual. And the next world, a little bit more material, a little bit less spiritual, and it gets more and more material until it hits this world in the material form. But everything which exists in this world, in this world it looks material, but it's the same thing that exists up there in its pure spiritual form. Shulchan daimel mizbeach, because a shulchan is a mizbeach. In its spiritual originality, it's a mizbeach. It's mishtalshel, it comes down through the olam as it comes down this way. Chazal say that Reb Shimon ben Chalafta had no money. And his wife said, we got no money, I can't buy food for Shabbos. Say Chazal, boy of Shabbos, v'loi hoya manli sparnes. He didn't have what to buy food for Shabbos. His wife said, no Shabbos this week. Out Shabbos. Mandatory. No Shabbos. Why? There's no food. What did he do? Say Chazal, yotza leichutz le'ir. He went outside the city. V'ispalel lifnei Elokim. And he started davening to the Ribbono Shel'Olam. Veniten loy even toivo min hashamayim. Whoops! A diamond fell down from heaven. What did he do? Nos nola shulchani. He gave it to the dealer who changed his currency. He said, "Yeah, I got a diamond." Got for it a large sum of money. Upilnes oisa Shabbos. And it was food galore from Shabbos. And his wife cooks the food. And he goes to daven Kabbalah Shabbos, and he davens Ma'ariv, and he comes home from Ma'ariv, and as he walks through the door, he's in a great mood, and he's already started, Shalom Aleichem, Aleichem Shalom, he's singing to himself. Omrei Ishta, and his wife turns around to him and says to him, Meheichon Eilu, before you go any further, where's all this come from? We were penniless! What do you do? Rob a bank? Hold up a Brinks car? What happened here? Where did all this money come from? Amaleo turns around to his wife and he says, Mima Shepanis HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How are you mixing into my affairs? God gives, we take. Fine. Omra. She used it in the line that every single wife uses on her husband, and it works 1,000%. Im einata emili heichon. And if you don't tell me where you got the money from to buy this food, eini tayemes klum. I'm not eating. Says the Gemara, say Chazal, what happened? His chumus apelo. He had no choice. So he tells her, listen, he told me there's no money. I went outside. I went into the outside the city. I was mispalled to the Ribbeinu Shalom. And he gave me this diamond from heaven. Omra le, she says to him, Eini toyemes klum. I'm not eating anything tonight. Ad she toyemeli, until you promise me, shetachzir mitzvah Shabbos. The mitzvah Shabbos, you give it back to God. How, what, when? That's not my problem, that's your problem. Give it back to God. I don't want it. Omra lo, he said to her, Loma, why? What are you getting so excited about? Came down from heaven. I mean, what? Chal Yisrael got mon in the midbar 40 years. No wives turned around to her husband and said, we're not eating it. It came from heaven. What's your problem? Amalai, she said to him, Ata reitze shehei shulchancha chosa v'shulchan chavercha mole. Where do you think this came from? This came from our table in Olam Abba. We have a table in Olam Abba. And our table has four legs. And what did the Ribbono Shel Olam do? He took one of these legs and he gave it to us in this world in the form of a diamond. When we get up there, we're going to have a table with three legs. Have you ever tried sitting by a table with three legs? I don't want a table with three legs. He said, what are you talking about? Table, three legs, what's traced in my cup? What do you want from me? She says to him, you got a Rebbe, right? His name was Rebbe. Let's go speak to your rabbi. Okay, off they go, Friday night, they knock on the Rebbe's door, Rebbe answers the door. They come in, they tell the Rebbe the story. The Rebbe hears the story from her, Rebbe turns around to her and he says to her, what's your problem? You're frightened when you get up there, you're going to have a table with three legs? If that's what you find, then come over to me, I'll also be up there, and I'll give you a leg from my table and you'll have four legs. She turns around to her husband and she says, where did you find this Amoritz? And Rebbe says, what? She says, what are you talking about? When we get up there, I'll come to you. So before she passes, ki hoylech odom le beis olamoy. Each person goes to his own Olam Haba. There's no connection between one person and the other person in Olam Haba. So you're never going to go that I know that I'm missing a table leg and I can't come to you. And your thumb drain me a cup and your thumb trying to brush me off. And end of the chazal. So the Mirror of Shiva of Chaim Shulev is Zichrein Levracha. If the Gemara doesn't carry on, what does that mean? But she shrugged up Rebbe. And the Gemara does carry on with one more line. The Motzi Shabbos, he went, he was mispalel to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and he went back up again, and it was also a big mess. Says the Tel Zerov in Shuri Das, a Mirror de Kehara. He says, what's going on here? Jews don't have an Islamic perspective of Olam Haba. There's no tables up there with various other individuals up there that the Muslims talk about. That's not our Olam Haba. Olam Haba is something ruchni. So what you're talking about? A table leg and the table leg and I'm missing a table leg and I'll have a table leg and I'll take a table leg from you. This was a diamond. What's the shaykhus with Olam Haba, which is tulakulay spiritual? Says the Tel Zerov, no. This was a ruchniyistika schar which exists in Olam Haba. But it was mishtalshel, it started coming down through the Olamos. And as it comes down through the Olamos, what happens? It becomes more and more and more material until it manifests itself in this Gashmi world in a purely material, physical form of a diamond. But it was a shtik ruchniyus. Whatever a person says, and al achas kama v'kama, whatever a person does, creates a metzias. And we have to get this into our heads. And the difficulty is that we don't see it in front of us, so it's difficult to believe. But what a person says and what a person does creates a Ruchni Metzias. That's a Gemara. And then that Ruchni Metzias starts being Mishtalshel and comes down here and it appears here in a physical form. And therefore, if you say Halitaini no min ha'adoim ha'adoim hazeh, if you talk egoistically, and alachas kama v'kama, if you act egoistically, you are creating a spiritual egoistic world up there. But that spiritual egoistic world up there doesn't stay up there. It's mishtalshel, it comes back down again in a physical form. And therefore it goes on and on and on, and you're constantly in this world of egoism and you can't break out of it. Mishnas Yesharim writes, famous Mishnas Yesharim in Perek Yud Aleph, when he's talking about Nivul Peh. He says Nivul Peh is not an issa to prevent a person from going a stage further. Nivul Peh is Mamish Elvo. Except, because there's no maisa here that you're doing, therefore you don't get on the spot the einish that you get. But you should know, says the Mesir of Shisharim, it's a act of Giloy Aroyes, and, says the Mesir of Shisharim, it will bring you eventually to the actual Issa of Gilu Arayis. That's what Nivul Peh will do. To which the question immediately arises. The Minister Shoshanim starts off and he says, the speaking Nivul Peh, it's not a geder that you shouldn't get to doing an Aveira. And then he says, it's an Issa Atzmi, it in itself is an Issa of Arayis, except that it's lacking certain components, which was the reason why you don't get the same punishment as you get for by Bezdin on Gilu Arayis. And it will bring you at the end to doing the Maisa. So he's contradicting himself. The Torah says he's not contradicting himself. What he's saying the following is, don't think for a moment that Chazal said that the reason why you're not allowed to use Nivul Peh is because we're trying to keep you away from worse things. No. When a person speaks Nivul Peh, he creates an Olam Aruchni of Aroyas. That's what he does. So it's a Maisa Elvo. But it's not a physical myself, it's a ruchnistic myself. But the result is that it's mishtalshel back down again. And therefore you will come to be over and it's of Aroyas, because you created your own world of Aroyas by the way that you spoke. And halachas kama v'kama, if a person does a maisa. Every maisa that we do, every word that we say, creates olamas. Olamas ruchnis which come back down in this world. And then you're locked in. And then wherever you are, you're always turning around to the rabbi, to the mashgiach, say, why is the gate finished? It's not working, it's not going. Of course it's not working, of course it's not going. You created the world and you locked yourself into the world. And it doesn't matter whether you're sober or whether you're drunk. It makes no nafka minna. If you talk to a horse, it creates a world. It creates a world of horses, and you live for the rest of your life in a world of horses. You're a Felden, and everything around you are Felden. It's a Matthias. And then you come with a tie, I don't understand the Gemara. When was the last time you saw a horse who understood Rav Shimon Shkop? And when you find him, bring him to me. And then I don't come around with a tie that I can't understand Tosfos, because horses don't understand Tosfos. And you think you're very clever. But a whale of a time. We created a world of horses and now we're happy. Failed! You're moronic imbeciles! And you're happy with yourself. You walk around and you talk language that sailors don't use. And then you say, I don't understand. Why am I nichshel in this? Why am I nichshel in that? Because you're a horse. because you're creating a world and you don't realize it. And it doesn't help all the maisa mitzvahs that you're doing, quote unquote, the chesed and all the other garbage. It doesn't help in the slightest. Not in the slightest. Because Esav reached the dagger of Kibud Av, which is more choshev than Kfayt HaMokim, more than any of us are ever going to realize in our lives, or get to in our lives. And it didn't help him in the slightest. And the Ribbono Shel Olam says, as Esav sonei si. Why? Because min ha'adoim hazeh.